Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, coming to you from snowy Pueblo, Colorado, on this chilly 16th of December, 2008. It's definitely beginning to look a lot like Christmas here. But it's also the season for movie awards and nominations to be handed out by various groups. And that's why I'm very pleased our guests are two noted film critics who can clue us in concerning movies and performances that are earning recognition this year. Both John P. McCarthy, editor of Cineman Syndicate, and Diana Sanger from Classic Movie Guide attend press screenings or receive screeners prior to the movie's opening, so they've actually seen most of the films to be released by the end of December. So their discussion should help everyone select the best films to see during the rest of 2008, as well as DVDs of movies to catch up on. But before bringing John and Diana on, let's see if Nikki Starr, my excellent producer, and Jazz Shaw, my outstanding co-host, are ready to help with the show. Nikki, are all systems go with you?
All systems are go.
Fantastic. The chat is open and
yes, ma'am.
People are participating, and mm-hmm. you're going to let us know if there's anything that they would like us to answer, or any comments that they would like to make, and I really appreciate that. And Jazz, are you ready with some questions for John and Diana?
Well, I'm as ready as I'm going to be. I'm just sitting and giving thought to all the different movies, you know, including the ones I haven't gotten to see yet that are coming out that would be in contention. So my head is just buzzing, but we'll give it our best shot.
Well, your best shot is a very good shot, Jazz. So let's get started. Diana, welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters.
Thank you, Betty Jo. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you back, and we're also happy to have John here, too. Hi, John.
Hi, Betty Jo.
And both of you, I know, have been so busy attending screenings and taking a look at the many, many, many screeners that have been sent to you, so I really appreciate you taking the time to come and talk with us on our show today. And first, I believe Diana has some breaking news relating to the San Diego Film Critics Society meeting yesterday. So let's give her the floor. Diana, what happened yesterday at your meeting?
Well, it was quite interesting because usually we go in, there's 12 members of our group, Betty Jo is included, she's one, and we usually go in with quite a different mix of films, both, you know, from one extreme to the other, plus ones that we are each individually really champion. But yesterday was quite interesting because everything was pretty much across the board and that no one was jumping up and down about anything particular except one member who was champion The Dark Knight for everything. And
only one.
Only one. And so it was a pretty easy day. I mean, we go in with our five top votes when we get there, and then we channel that down to our picks each year.
And what were the results? Don't keep us in suspense.
Okay, well, Slumdog Millionaire was voted best film.
Yay.
Yay.
And it's pretty much a landslide this year. We also gave Danny Boyle best director for that. Now, we went against the studio's listings this year, which is quite untraditional for us, and I don't know anybody else. Kate Winslet is being touted by the studios for Best Supporting Actress for Revolutionary Road. But we thought she was a better standout in The Reader, so we voted her Best Actress for The Reader.
Yes, I'm surprised at that. And how brave of you to go against the studios.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen if we're getting voodoo dolls with pins stuck on our heads or what, but that's what we did. We gave Mickey Rourke Best Actor for his wonderful role in The Wrestler. We gave Marissa Tomei the Supporting Actress Award for that film also. Of course, supporting actor could go to none other than Heath Ledger. I mean, that was the role of a century. We all know that.
Absolutely.
We gave Best Original Screenplay to Tom McCarthy for The Visitor and Best Adapted Screenplay to Slumdog Millionaire. Best Foreign Language Film went to the Swedish vampire drama Let the Right One In.
That one's for you, Nikki. Nikki loves the vampires, so she's happy that you got a vampire movie.
Side, right?
Right.
We chose Man on the Wire for Best Documentary. Best Animated Film we gave to WALL-E.
Yay.
And Best Production Design went to The Curious Case of Benjamin Buttons. Best Cinematography to Anthony Mantle for Slumdog Millionaire. And Best Editing also to Slumdog Millionaire, and Best Score to Slumdog Millionaire. So there you go.
Wow. How much do members of the San Diego Film Critics Society love Slumdog Millionaire? Let me count the ways. That's six awards. Isn't that a record of some kind for the group?
Yeah, you know, I think it is. I really do.
And a body of work, too, because the group always gives a body of work award.
Right.
And I do have to clarify something. I am still a member of the San Diego Film Critics Society. They're so nice to keep me in, even though I moved away from San Diego. But Diana and I are two of the founders of that group. And so they do permit me to help with the nominations. I don't get to vote in the final vote, so that's why I'm always so eager to find out what they've selected. Now, if I could travel all the way back to San Diego and vote in the finals, I would be able to do that. But the body of work was
Richard Dinkins, correct.
Right.
We select one filmmaker for their body of work for the year, 2008. So Richard Dinkins was selected for his performances in The Visitor, Burn After Reading, Step Brothers, and voicing of The Tale of Despero.
That's a great choice, I think. My only other actor that I thought would be a good one to pick would have been Robert Downey Jr. for
he
Iron Man.
In our conversations, absolutely.
Yeah, Iron Man and Charlie Bartlett and Tropic Thunder. But Richard Jenkins is really an excellent choice there. Well, thank you so much for that update, and it looks like the San Diego Film Critics members are gung-ho for Slumdog Millionaire this year. Now, Jazz, I know you have some questions for Diana and John, so go ahead and ask away.
Yes, I do, actually. Getting outside of San Diego, all across the nation, the world, inside the industry, and, of course, all the journalists, we're getting into the season where all the big buzz is starting for the movie. So I'd like to hear from both of them as to what movies are getting the buzz nationally and internationally as far as awards coming up. And normally Betty Jo follows the rule where she always says ladies first, but since she's letting me start, I'm going to break that. Why don't we start with John? Have the boys go first. Who's getting all the buzz, John?
Well, let me tell you, it's funny. I think Slumdog Millionaire really has to be the front runner now. If you look at the critics societies like San Diego it's also interesting that it's an international movie made by a British fellow, but obviously set in India. So I think it right now it's between Slumdog Millionaire and The Dark Knight, although Dark Knight hasn't won anything in terms of any critics poll yet. It's going to be a major force because the industry, it made so much money, so the industry likes that.
Absolutely.
So, Diana, are you in the same boat with John? I see nobody's going to pick my film, but what do you think? What, you know, just outside of your own opinion, what, you know, where's all the buzz heading?
Well, that's definitely one of the top runners. Although, film critics groups go from same as us, one extreme to the other. The LA Film Critics chose WALL-E as the best picture of the year. So there you go. You have everything from, you know, Doubt, The Reader, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Revolutionary Road. They're all getting some hype.
So I'm guessing nobody picked Hancock then. I'm
so Hancock.
Sad. That was my favorite film of the year.
Nope, I liked it too.
Well,
but we were in the minority, I think.
I don't want to tell you this, but we were discussing our worst films of the year, and that was actually suggested for the list yesterday.
Cut me to the quick.
I really like that. But in the future, I mean, people will look back and they will look at Hancock, and it'll be on somebody's best list still, I think. So cheer up, Dad.
I liked it.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
I certainly did, too. Well, you know, I was looking at the American Film Institute listing of the best movies of 2008, because sometimes these are the ones that you start thinking about in terms of getting the big awards in the at the beginning of the year, which, by the way, the Golden Globe Award nominations have already been announced, but the actual awards won't be given until January 11th, and then the Oscars will be... The nominations will be announced on January 22nd, which is quite unusual because that's a Thursday, and they usually announce them on a Tuesday. But guess what January 20th is and why they won't announce them on the 20th? The inauguration. They don't
really want to. That would be Barack Obama's big show, yes.
Right. They don't want
right.
to rain on his parade. And then the Oscars themselves will be given out on February 22nd. And, of course, we got the wonderful news that Hugh Jackman, Be Still My Heart, will be the host of the Oscars.
Yay!
So I'm just so happy about that. But anyway, AFI. Okay, here are the AFI films. WALL-E, that's getting a lot of buzz, I think, this year. Gran Torino, that's the Clint Eastwood movie. Iron Man, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Dark Knight, Frozen River, which I haven't seen yet, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Wrestler, and a movie that I think I may have been the only one besides the people in AFI who saw and loved, Wendy and Lucy. And then the Golden Globe nominations, the dramas, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, The Reader, Revolutionary Road, and the San Diego favorite, Slumdog Millionaire. And in the musical comedy nominees, I do like that they've divided them into drama and musical or comedies. They have Burn After Reading, Happy Go Lucky, that's a British film, In Bruges, which I thought was a big surprise, Mamma Mia, oh, hooray for Mamma Mia, and then Vicky Cristina Barcelona, the Woody Allen film. So I would say, you know, out of that group of films, we can kind of look for some nominations in the big Golden Globes, I mean, wins in the Golden Globes and possibly some Oscar nominations. But now I'd like to ask Diana which actors, both in the lead and supporting categories, are ahead in the awards race now?
Well, you're talking about from all the groups?
Right. Uh-huh. What's the most, which of the actors are getting the most buzz?
Well, I know Sean Penn's up there for Milk. What else? I don't think they've really mentioned Brad for Benjamin Button, although the film is getting a lot of recognition.
I think Frank Langella for Frost Nixon is a particular thing
and
for
Mickey
another.
And Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler.
Yes, yeah.
That's really a surprise. I think that one's...
How about the actresses? What's the big word on who's up for Best Actress?
Actresses are hard this year. You know, Meryl Streep's been mentioned for Doubt, but, you know, she's good in everything she does. Let's see. New York film critics chose Sally Hawkins for Happy Go Lucky, which is a really quirky little film.
But
who else, John?
Well, there's Anne Hathaway and Rachel Getting Married. I think she'll definitely be getting a nomination, and she was fantastic in that small schmovie. There's Melissa Leo in Frozen River, and she's fantastic, again, in a very small movie about a woman who resorts to smuggling people across the Canadian-U.S. border in upstate New York. And I think Kate Winslet has to, you have to think she's going to get something either for The Reader or Revolutionary Road. It does surprise me, Diana, that the studios want her, the studio wants her to be in the supporting category for Revolutionary Road. It seems to me to be a leading performance, and I actually liked her better in that than in The Reader. But, you know, I think she's due for some recognition, so we'll see her get some nomination.
Not to get too far off the beaten trail, but there is one curious thing about the reaction that we got. Why do both of you suppose it might be harder to identify the big buzz for the lead actresses as opposed to actors? Was it that the scripts that were delivered, the projects that were produced, didn't have that many powerful roles for actresses? They were more male-dominated, or were the performances just not that good by the actresses this year?
I think there was just more, the roles were more male-dominated.
So what else is new?
Well, I wasn't going to go there.
Well, you know, I thought that Meryl Streep was absolutely fabulous in both Doubt and Mamma Mia. She just, and do you know that I started out not liking Meryl Streep at all? And it wasn't until I saw her in The Devil Wears Prada that I started thinking, you know, she's either gotten better or I've gotten smarter. she can do anything. I mean, you take a look at those two movies. Doubt, she plays the uber-strict nun who goes on this campaign, relentless campaign against the priest. And she's just, just villainous in the way that she goes about this investigation. Then take a look at her in Mamma Mia, and of course she spelts out those songs like she was born to be a musical comedy star, and she had to go through quite an emotional arc in that film.
Right.
There was no arc, necessarily. I mean, she was just straight authoritarian nun in Doubt. But I thought I would actually go more toward giving her an Oscar for Mamma Mia than for Doubt. But she deserves whatever awards that she can get, because I think she's just excellent. And,
you know, that movie only had a budget of like $52 million, and I think worldwide it's already done six times that. And the DVD just came out, so that part's not even added in.
You mean Mamma Mia?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, well, it's just been a fantastic success. So.
And if Streep does get nominated, it'll be her 15th nomination, but she's only won twice, actually.
And that's right.
Three times, but I think it's twice.
She's had the most nominations. That's right. For a time it was Katharine Hepburn, I believe, and then
right.
Meryl Streep just kind of rushed by her, and she's got a lot more nominations in her too, and wins. But I wanted to go back to the actor, because one actor who I thought just gave a tremendous performance wasn't mentioned by either of you, and that's Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino. Did either one of you see that, and what did you think about him in that? I know he did win the Best Actor by the National Board of Review, so somebody's paying attention to him.
I did see it, and I don't agree with you. I thought he was Dirty Harry on Geritol.
I mean, that's a good one. I like that.
It just seemed like a very forced performance to me. I don't know. Did you see it, John?
I did, and I totally agree. I thought he had his, I mean, I didn't mind the performance. I just thought he had his tongue in his cheek the whole time. To me, the movie's a bit of a farce, really, in that, you know, we laugh at the character so much. I mean, he's so over the top. That it looks like he's having a good time.
Right.
And, you know, the message, the ultimate message of the movie is good, but I disagree. with that selection, but you know, a lot of people are mentioning it, so you never know.
And
we're
really
covering a lot of different films that weren't getting mentioned, so I hate to interrupt Betty Jo, but I just have to ask, I'm hearing personal buzz from friends, people on the web that I chat with. Where do we think Australia is going to wind up standing? Because everything I've heard was just that it was, well, perhaps less than it might have been.
The only thing that we actually talked about that in our awards was it was a consideration for cinematography. That's the only time that it came up in all of our considerations.
Except that I turned in him as one of my – I turned in Hugh Jackman as one of my top five actors. That's why they don't let me come to the meetings.
I thought from Hugh himself.
I thought he was just wonderful, and I know people are comparing him – were comparing him before they saw the movie probably to Clark Gable in Gone with the Wind, but I thought he was a lot better and, of course, consider The Source. But I don't think that Hugh Jackman will also be a nominee as well as a host at the Oscars, because I think I'm the only critic that's given him very much acclaim for his work in that movie. It was a beautifully filmed movie, though.
Yes, it was.
I liked it, I think, more than the average critic, but I don't think it really. Maybe there's a few technical awards that it could be up for, but I don't think it, you know, it was so ambitious and so sweeping, and I admired it a lot, and there were parts of it that I enjoyed, but you know, I don't think it's going to be a factor. But naming him the host, you never know how that works. So
well, being the host, that is going to enliven the Oscars. I remember watching him as the host for the Tony Awards. And he just wowed everybody. Of course, he can sing, he can dance, he can tell amusing stories with the best of them. So,
yeah,
I think he's
charisma, absolutely.
He's
and as the host, he can just slip his own name into one of the envelopes. There you go.
It may be a conspiracy.
That's right.
But
one of the films I really liked, Betty Jo, I'm not hearing a lot of buzz about, is Defiance. I think Daniel Craig's performance in that was just amazing. But I'd like to hear what John thinks about that if he saw it.
Yeah, I did see it, and it did. I think the performances, certainly the three guys, Liev Schreiber, and the kid from
Jamie Bell.
Yes, yeah, Jamie Bell and Craig, they were good, but to me it was sort of Fiddler on the Roof meets The Great Escape. I didn't. There was so much melodrama going on in the forest when these group of Jewish refugees are trying to hide from the Nazis during World War II, and I guess it's Poland, that, you know, it seemed a little unbelievable to me. But you know, it is a different take on the war and the Holocaust that we don't often see, which is the Jews that fought back. So in that sense, it's interesting. But
it had lots of action in it.
And
the best kissing scene, I think, of the past year. I thought that was quite impressive, and the most disturbing violence scene. Now, they were different scenes, but it did have those things going for it, and certainly holds your interest. So
there's a bit of World War II Holocaust fatigue out there, I think, because there have been about five different movies in the second part of the year.
Isn't that amazing?
With the themes. You know what? A real, real long shot for any awards recognition is Jeff Goldblum in a movie called Adam Resurrected.
Yes.
Which opens this week in limited release. And it's by Paul Schrader, actually, but it's based on a book written in 1968 about a man who survives. He's an entertainer, a circus performer before the war in Berlin, and he goes to a concentration camp, and he survives, and it ends up in an asylum in Israel with a bunch of other survivors, and what he had to do to survive, which was act like a dog for the commandant of the camp, played by Willem Dafoe. Anyway, it's a fascinating movie So I recommend it. But it's a Promethean performance as well. So keep an eye.
I didn't know he had that performance in him, to tell you the truth, Jeff Goldblum. You usually think of him as the sort of the comic, you know, the comedian in the film, and that voice of his is so distinct, and yet it didn't sound like his voice at all.
Yeah.
Well, we have time to touch on some of the other categories and things. What were some of the best films for example, special effects, CGI work, things like that? You already mentioned WALL-E as far as animation. I was watching one critic on TV this morning, and I apologize for forgetting the title. It was apparently so forgettable. Apparently a film debuted this weekend that cost $40 million that was a special effects bonanza and made like $16 on its opening day or something. So, you know, what are we seeing for CGI and special effects?
Well, Diana, do you want to take that?
Well, I think The Dark Knight is one of them up there. You know, we were talking about that yesterday, and we were discussing the editing category, you know, what goes into editing a film that contains CGI and does not. And definitely, you know, CGI is part of the storytelling, so it is an important category. Our group does not vote for special effects. We do production design. But so, you know, there's The Dark Knight. Other than that, I can't think of anything else right now. John?
Well, I think a movie that I loved, and I think it's in my top five, is The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and by David Fincher, and this is with Brad Pitt, is a person who's born, but at the age of 80, and he's a little shrivelly infant, and then he gets younger as he gets older. And it sounds like a gimmick, but it's not. I think it's a beautiful movie, and it has a lot of similarities to Forrest Gump because it's written by the same screenwriter, but it's technically flawless the way they use computer to put Brad Pitt's head on all these different figures, human figures, and the way he's aged or the way he gets younger. It's seamless the way it's done, so I think it'll get some recognition.
And I hope that Iron Man get some recognition for special effects, because I thought that.
Me too. I loved Iron Man.
Yeah.
But when we did our show this year on superhero movies, I was the only one to pick Iron Man. You know, I thought that was a great superhero movie.
I thought it was too, and I did love the special effects in that film, and I agree with you, John, about the special effects in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. I did not care for the movie. I thought it was too slow moving, and I thought Brad Pitt was, well, I was comparing him with his performance in Burn After Reading, and I liked the crazy guy he did in Burn After Reading so much, and he just didn't seem to have a whole lot of emotional feeling in that particular movie that you like so much. But
these last categories, Nikki is tracking the fact in the chat room I'm watching that a lot of people are disagreeing with us, you know, with the guests and us on these categories.
Well, that's good. That's
hey,
good.
What are
some of the disagreements? Nikki, are you there? Can you tell us? Yes, please tell us. What are the chatters disagreeing about?
They're saying that Hancock and James Bond and Iron Man have the best CGI. So Hancock and the James
Hancock
Bond movie, we're forgetting those completely.
Well, I
Iron
agree
Man
on too. Hancock,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, nobody here even mentioned the James Bond movie, that's right.
But it did. I don't think it compared with Iron Man. But our chatters are very perceptive, so I love to hear their reactions. Thank you so much on that. Is there anything else from the chat? Any comments or questions that?
No. Well, a lot of people really love Burned After Reading, and there's a character, or there's a comparison in there that the Burned After Reading character felt like the character in 12 Monkeys, and he was successful with that. I haven't seen the movie, but they like it, so that's good.
They are so perceptive because Brad Pitt did play a character similar to the one in Burn in Burn After Reading, and he does those kind of quirky characters so well, but then he has to tone down any kind of emotion, it seemed to me, in Benjamin Button. But the cinematography and the background music were very, very good. And another movie that doesn't seem to be getting the recognition that it deserves is Revolutionary Road. I mean, it's mentioned a couple of times, but one of my fellow critics, and I, who shall remain nameless, said about Revolutionary Road, I'd rather scoop my eyeball out with a spork than see another Sam Mendes film.
And oh, dear.
That's terrible.
I did not like Revolutionary Road either. I thought it was talking heads.
Well, it was the modern version of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. I'll tell you, I did not make that comment about it, but I agree with all the negative sentiments about it. And to me, it was more theatrical than Frost, Nixon, or Doubt, which were based on, you know, which were adapted stage plays. And I know Sam Mendes does a lot of work in the theater, but it's a real downer. I mean, I don't know why anybody who, A, lives in the suburbs or is married would want to see it.
Well, it's
a man and wife fighting their whole life while they're married. It was just boring. I do have to mention an interesting thing about the score of Benjamin Button. I don't know if you guys know that Alexander Duplat wrote his score to be able to be played either backwards or forward.
Oh,
and it's the same tune because it goes with the theme of him growing from old to young.
Oh, wow.
That is an interesting little bit of trivia.
Yeah,
you mentioned Frost Nixon very briefly, and I noticed this coming up with the listeners to the show, and I was wondering myself, all through the show, that's gotten almost no mention, and I'm just curious, was it just not that great of a film, didn't stand out, or do you think it's possible that, particularly given the year that we've had, are people just burned out on politics and we don't want to hear about another political scandal and revisit Watergate kind of thing, or, you know, not the right time, or was it just not done well?
It was done extremely well. In fact, I just did my review today and I mentioned that, you know, I wasn't excited to see it at all. I thought, I'm done with Nixon, but the movie's absolutely brilliant. It's very compelling, and I think Frank's going to get an Oscar nomination.
Hmm.
It's extremely well done.
It's on my top 10 list for the year. I, again, walked in with low expectations. And I thought it was done really well. Ron Howard, I think it may be one of Ron Howard's best movies ever because of the way he was able to take this material from the stage and turn it into a dynamic movie. I mean, not as Slumdog Millionaire, but...
You know what? I'm in the minority on that one because I walked into Frost Nixon with low expectations and they were met.
Oh, dear. Well, that kind of blows my next question, Betty Jo, because I was about to ask, 50 years from now, are people going to be looking back and thinking that Ron Howard, who we grew up watching as like Opie and the little freckle-faced kid in Happy Days, you know, is he going to be one of the great all-time directors that's still being remembered 50 or 75 years from now, or is this
He's done some great work, so I don't want to say too many bad things about his directing. But I think there was a problem with, for me, and also for my husband, because we're old enough to have seen those original interviews between Nixon and Frost. And Frank Langella did not have to change his voice the way he did. Now, maybe he played that on the stage and won a Tony. I think for a couple of years, he and Michael Sheen, I think both of them, the guy that played Frost, so I think he was using his stage voice, and it was very, very off-putting to us because it didn't sound like Frank Langella, and it didn't sound like Richard Nixon. So because Frank Langella was in practically every scene or every other scene, it just kind of annoyed us. So that's the reason that we didn't care for Frost Nixon. But it is on many, many critics' top 10 list, and I think it will probably be very much in the picture at the Oscars.
Frank Langella should get an award just for still being going so strong after all this time, remembering back to, you know, like the horror movie days and everything.
That's right. He was the greatest Dracula ever.
He was the best Dracula.
Oh, he's just, I mean, and his own voice is just so great. So I think that was a disappointment to me. But, you know, I hope that Mamma Mia gets something and that Meryl Streep gets something for that movie because it was so much fun. But most critics groups and the big award organizations like the Oscars aren't that crazy about musicals, so I don't have too many hopes for that. But I wanted to go back to one thing that John mentioned about the Holocaust themes and the fact that there are so many downer movies. Just the night before last, I saw The Boy in the Striped Pajamas. And if you want to see a downer film, that is, I think, the downer of the year. Did either one of you see that? And what are your thoughts about that particular film, John?
In my top 10.
In your top 10. Okay. It was a beautiful film, though.
I mean, all those movies are downers because they're, you know, it's historical tragedy. And, you know, you're constantly reminded of that. I mean, every one of those films I watch, I leave with a heavy heart, but it's also part of history and you know, that filmmakers are redoing that in so many different ways, you know, from Valkyrie to Defiance, like John said, is different. But I thought it was a beautiful film.
It was by one of my favorite directors, Mark Herman, who did Little Voice and Brassed Off, which were a lot more upbeat, but it was a very well done film, and that's what made it so much more of a downer. Because you did feel like you were right there, and you just fell in love with that little boy who was
adorable,
who was trying to have a friendship with the little boy in the concentration camp, and everything that he was doing to try to help that little boy. And
I thought Vera Farmiga as his mother was very good.
Yes, I hope she gets a Best Supporting Actress nomination.
I'm frightened to toss this question out, and of course I'm not one of the people who's been privileged enough to see it yet, and I'll probably have stones cast at me, but what about Marley and Me? I just so want the dog movie to be good.
I always think they're good.
Seen it yet, but one of our critics in our group is an avid dog lover, said she cried the entire time.
Oh, no.
She's never cried at movies before, ever.
We thought it was going to be a nice Christmas Day, a happy movie.
Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I just assumed all of you would have already gotten a you know, chance to see it early.
You know, they're not screening it in New York for critics until tomorrow. So
we actually had a screening last week, but it's nothing we were voting for. So of the 18 movies we saw in the theater during the week, we had to go to those, and so I miss seeing that one.
Then you miss seeing Marley and Me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward
hopeful.
To
I
want to
go see it.
Yes,
so.
I had picked that out as the Christmas movie to see and to take all the family to. But if
you might want to see it first before you suggest that.
I think so, because I have a sister who won't go to any movie where a dog gets hurt. So if there's anything sad about a dog, well, that's out for the family. We're not going to be able to do that. But speaking of family, I highly recommend, and I think both of you do too, is WALL-E. I mean, and that's out on DVD now, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that certainly should win the Oscar for Best Animated Movie and possibly be nominated for Best Picture of the Year. Do you think there's any chance of that?
Like I said, the New York Film Critics picked it, but I kind of doubt it.
I think the L.A. Film Critics picked it as their Best Film of the Year.
Right.
And I think the New York Film Critics Circle picked it as the Best Animated Film. I think the buzz about it getting nominated for Best Picture was before people had seen the big prestige year-end movies. And if it was going to be a weak crop, I think everybody thought, well, WALL-E will go in. But now, not that it's a great, strong field of movies, but I think it's decent enough that the Academy will say, let's, you know, keep WALL-E where it you know, it should be, which is in the animated category, although I loved it, and I think it is. It's in my top five, I think. I just don't know where, but.
Yes, I think it's in my top five, too. I
I'm usually not that hooked on animated films, but that one really, really got to me.
Oh, last animated film, Kung Fu Panda. Any fans, or was that just a loser?
That was cute. I enjoyed it. I think the kids liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was
funny.
Good,
very funny.
It was a big hit with the kids, I think.
Funny,
maybe.
Funny film, yes.
And, of course, with Jack Black, with the voice, you always think about him being funny, so you laugh. But now, Nikki, we've been neglecting you. Do you have any questions for John or Diane about any films coming up or any DVDs, anything that you'd like to bring up to them?
No, I just think that they've done a great job talking about the buzz, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I do, too, and I think you're correct. They did a wonderful job as they...
And Nikki doesn't want to talk about where the chat's been going recently.
I'm trying to ignore
vampires.
It.
Oh, no.
That's all right.
I'm trying to ignore it. Oh, my goodness.
We don't need to... We don't need to.
Jazz knows me way too well.
Well, we don't need to be protected. So if there's anything you'd like to bring up, go ahead, and we're thick skin.
We're just having a very interesting conversation about vampire movies and whether they are horror or sexual. So, yeah, it's been a good...
They're both.
Yes, exactly.
And the vampire movie that won the San Diego Film Critics, Let the Right One In, is about a little girl vampire, but she certainly is not, it's not a family movie, is it, Diana?
I didn't see that one.
Oh, you haven't seen Let the Right One In?
I got the screener yesterday after we got home from voting.
It's a very, very good film, but it's gory, as most vampire movies are, so... just because it features two youngsters doesn't mean that it is a children's
not a
movie.
Kid's film, yeah. And I noticed our guest tactfully avoided mentioning Twilight for most of the show.
Yes,
and I thank you for that.
Yeah. But I certainly enjoyed Twilight, but we've talked about that on our shows before.
You know, another downer movie they showed this week, which is not going to be up for consideration, obviously, was 7 Pounds by Will Smith, and that was another one that you left going, okay, that was so depressing, and it's done well, and he's great, and Rosario was actually wonderful in it, but
yep.
I was just kind of wondering, why would you bring this out at Christmas? I don't know.
I wondered about that. I can't believe, again, here we are. The time is almost up, and so I want to thank you, John and Diana, for being such great guests again. It's always such fun having you on the show. And thanks also to Nikki and Jazz for their wonderful help with the show. And this is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout out to all the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support in connection with this show. Special thanks to everyone who listened live or to the archive or participated in the chat. We really appreciate it. Please come back 2 weeks from today on Tuesday, December 30th, for a lively discussion with the Mad Movie Man, A.J. Hockery, about the best and worst movies of the year. That ought to be lots of fun. In the meantime, check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. I wish you all joy and love during this holiday season. I'm going to start that again. I wish you all joy and love during this holiday season. May the movies you see be insightful as well as entertaining. And most important of all, don't forget to do good and be good. For you are the hero of your own real-life story. As usual, now, here's the talented A.J. Daniels to take us out with a song dedicated to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners.
shall love you. Then you'd be forced to love me too. And if you knew how much I adore you, you'd stay with me and be.